Millions of young people are headed to campus this fall in the middle of the global pandemic. Still, for incoming freshmen, this is something they've likely been looking forward to ever since they got that acceptance letter.
Hey!
Hey! Congratulations!
That is community high school senior Cami Tirico and her parents, screaming, clapping, and quite literally jumping for joy when they found out that Cami got into her dream school. But the story Cami tells on Michigan Radio's podcast, Kids These Days, is not about that day. It's about every day that led up to it. And it's about what people do or don't do to get into the college of their dreams.
I remember the first time I opened the Common App portal. I was sitting with my mom in my basement. We were going over the app together. And there's this section where you can list up to 10 activities, and you get 250 characters to describe each one. I said out loud to my mom, "It feels so weird that my 12 years of basketball get boiled down to 17 words. She asked me,
"Do you regret any of it?"
And I said, "Of course not. I mean, no. I wouldn't have run any slower at practices or skipped any games, but it still feels a bit weird. 12 years, 5 teams, and hundreds of games. That's what this huge part of my life gets boiled down to? Just a couple of sentences? It makes me wonder, what's the college process doing to our sense of self? Does it help us discover things we're interested in, or do we waste our time doing things we don't enjoy, just for the sake of filling in all of those blanks on our college application?
When I was in high school, we called it college suck, and it was the stuff you did to suck up to a college, which is so inauthentic.
That's Whitney Bruce. She's a college coach. She charges on average $3,500 to help students and their families navigate the college process. She worked with my family when my mom and I were in our 10th hour of editing the same 300-word essay. It feels like the college decision is the end-all be-all. There's so much pressure to get into the right college.
For most families, this is a huge financial decision. This is a decision that has ramifications on where a student lives and what kind of job opportunities they pursue and things like that, way beyond 4 years.
So we pour everything we've got into this college application. We're talking every club, sport, instrument, dance, or theater group we've been a part of, plus any volunteer work or job we've had, in the hopes that we will look well-rounded enough to get into our dream school. There are people like Whitney Bruce who tell us it's okay to only pursue the important things, but it often feels like we should be doing it all, and many of us try to. A study out of UCLA asked students if they felt overwhelmed by all they had to do. In 1985, only 18% said yes. In 2010, it jumped. Nearly a third of students said yes. And last year, in 2019, more than 40% of kids said they felt overwhelmed. Students are getting busier and busier, and they are sacrificing because of it.
Well, kids don't have fun anymore.
That is Sunia Luther. She studies distress and resilience among teenagers across socioeconomic groups in the U.S. I talked to her to see if this college pressure is something all teens deal with.
Kids don't have a childhood. They work at school work, and then even the playtime is really work because you're expected to, you know, win those championships and everybody's watching and you're being judged and there's a cost to whether you win or lose.
Luther says that teens feel like they're always being judged, like someone's always watching, and I agree.
What kind of childhood is that?
In Luther's research, she often talks about a phenomenon called
I can, therefore I must. If you have the opportunity to do one extra, honors course or extracurricular activity or something else to make your resumes look a little more impressive than they already are, then you must. In other words, there really isn't an option to turn away from that and say, nope, I think I'm tired. I think I've had enough. I'm not going to do this.
I know Ann Arbor isn't like all cities. It's a big university town, so there is an obvious stress on education, and not to mention it's a pretty wealthy city. This stress to be perfect and get into the best college feels really real. I knew it was a privilege to worry about what college I was going to get help from a college coach, and even to take my standardized tests more than once. But it wasn't until I talked to Luther that I realized class is a big factor in terms of how much students feel this pressure to succeed.
What people are finding is a sort of U-shaped curve. So the highest levels of distress or trouble tend to be at the lowest levels of socioeconomic status and the highest levels. There is this sort of implicit belief, I think, among students and parents and families and everybody is getting into college somehow is what's going to make or break your life. It's so not true.
My high school counselor, Amy McLaughlin, sees how this plays out every day at school. A lot of the kids in my school have parents who are doctors, lawyers, and professors. But before she came here, she worked at a school in Ohio with a very different mix of kids.
We didn't have these conversations about my kid will go to Columbia or my kid will go to this top tier school. It's just the way it is. So I think where we are in the bubble of Ann Arbor, which is probably true for most college towns, I think the level of education, I think we have been told that the system is you get into a good school, you have this network of people, and then they're going to help you be successful because of who you know, which is life is about who you know. And so I think parents want to set that up for their kids.
Amy wouldn't tell me how many, but she said there's been quite a few students who have cried in her office over this.
Nobody feels good. It doesn't seem like anybody feels good about this process.
But still, if you want to go to college, you need to apply. Amy looks at it this way. She says, tell it like a story. Tell your narrative the best way you can so colleges can see the best version of yourself.
I think I would consider myself a successful counselor if I could get students to question more about why you're doing what you're doing and how that narrative fits you.
Of course, finding that narrative can be stressful too. Having it be judged, then worrying if it was good enough or if it was truly authentic. But the truth is, no matter what happens, you either get in or you don't. And there's all that stuff that's going to come with it. Am I good enough? Will I make friends? What about a job? And that's all going to be equally as stressful, if not more. But that's in the future. That's not now. Now, we celebrate.
Awesome.
You're crying.
Support for kids these days comes from the Michigan Health Endowment Fund, a philanthropic foundation working to improve the health of Michigan residents with a focus on the wellness of children and older adults. More at mihealthfund.org. And from the Children's Foundation, working to improve the health and well-being of children and their families with pediatric research, education, community benefit programs, and other initiatives. On the web at yourchildrensfoundation.org.